The U.S. State Department includes Cuba in its list of countries that failed to cooperate in the struggle against terrorism. I have the pleasure to talk with a Cuban-American attorney, Jose Pertierra.
Yes, hello, Roberto. Thanks for inviting me.
Attorney Pertierra, why do you think that the U.S. have chosen this particular moment to include Cuba on this list of countries that do not cooperate in the struggle against terrorism?
Listen, the Trump regime is totally focused on the presidential election of November 3rd of this year. It thinks mistakenly, I maintain, that a hard line against Cuba and Venezuela can guarantee that it can carry the state of Florida. Whoever wins Florida gains 29 Electoral College votes, the same number as New York. Only California and Texas have more Electoral College votes. Experts agree that if the Republicans lose Florida, they'll lose the election. The election strategy of the Trump campaign is to ally itself with the extremists in Miami, such as Marco Rubio, Mario Diaz-Balart, Carlos Curbelo, and others, in sort of a crusade to liberate Cuba and Venezuela from communism. This will permit the campaign to raise much-needed funds, as well as agitate the Come Candelas of the southern part of Florida to go to the polls and vote for Trump. The aim of the Trump regime's Latin America policy is to dismantle the advances made by the government of Obama in the region, especially in relation to Cuba. With a shift of policy that he announced in December of 2015, Obama tried to punch some holes into the blockade. He also freed Gerardo, Tony, and Ramon from prison where they were being held unjustly. And thanks to the successful negotiations that both governments carried out, Cuba opened its embassy in Washington and the U.S. its own in La Habana. The Obama policy left Miami's right-wing extremists furious and frustrated, and after taking office, Trump promised to turn the clock back to the Cold War politics of yesteryear against Cuba. The U.S. cynically announced the inclusion of Cuba on the list of countries that do not cooperate fully with its efforts to counter terrorism. This comes on the heels of a brazen terrorist attack against the Cuban embassy in Washington. Only a few days ago, a terrorist of Cuban origin with ties to Miami-based groups filled with hatred against the island, as well as overt passion for his hero Trump, sprayed the embassy with 32 bullets from an AK-47 automatic weapon. After the terrorist attack, Cuba has been pressing the U.S. for assurances that its diplomats will be protected from future attempts on their lives and for information regarding the terrorist who attacked the embassy. These requests, in the form of diplomatic notes, have fallen on deaf ears. Instead, Washington announced that it would be including Cuba on a list of countries that do not cooperate fully with its efforts to counter terrorism. In other words, Cuba, a country that has been victimized by terrorists for over 60 years, terrorists such as Posada Carriles and Orlando Bosch, who were trained and protected by Washington for decades, is instead now vilified by the U.S. government and put back on a blacklist linked to terrorist countries. We should remember that Luis Posada Carriles, at the service of the CIA for decades, was the mastermind of one of the worst terrorist attacks in the Western Hemisphere. He and his buddy Orlando Bosch blew up a Cuban passenger plane, killing 73 people aboard, including a 9-year-old little girl named Sabrina. Now the U.S., the country that trained and protected anti-Cuban terrorists for decades, the country that has failed to comply with its obligations to safeguard the Cuban embassy in Washington in violation of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, has the gall to accuse Cuba of not collaborating in the fight against terrorism. This is the height of cynicism. Many experts agree that this business of putting Cuba on the list of countries that don't cooperate in the fight against terrorism is a prelude to including it in an even more nefarious list, the one regarding countries that sponsor terrorism. A high-level Trump administration source confirmed to Reuters yesterday that the White House is considering doing precisely that.
I continue this interview with Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra. Attorney, what is the difference between the list of countries that do not cooperate and the list of countries that sponsor terrorism?
Well, Roberto, there's a great deal of difference, legal, commercial, and political. Putting Cuba on the list of state sponsors of terrorism would submit the island to severe prohibitions regarding the sale and the purchase of goods and technology, as well as seriously hampering Cuba from obtaining international financial assistance. Even something as simple and necessary as opening a bank account to operate the embassy in Washington is crippled by Cuba being on such a list because the reporting requirements on banks are so onerous that they have a chilling effect on banks, which then refuse to open up these accounts. It would also permit the U.S. to sanction other countries that would send military assistance and or hardware to Cuba.
Attorney Pertierra, how will it impact U.S.-Cuban relations, this decision of a U.S. office?
Well, one of the biggest obstacles that Obama faced in wanting to normalize diplomatic relations with Cuba was its inclusion on the list of state sponsors of terrorism. The U.S. customarily doesn't negotiate with terrorists or terrorist nations. Some congressmen that opposed his opening to Cuba pointed to this blacklist to drum up support against the Obama opening. That's why the Obama administration made sure to remove Cuba from the list of state terrorists where it had been for over three decades. 6 months after having done so, Obama announced their rapprochement to Cuba. The enemies in Washington and Miami of the Cuban people know this, and that's why they're so keen to position Trump to once again put Cuba on the blacklist. The idea being to tighten the screws on the blockade and, just in case Trump loses in November, place obstacles in Biden's path in case he were to want to normalize relations with Havana. I live in the belly of the beast, 10 minutes from the White House. There's a lot of hatred here against Cuba and against Venezuela, against immigrants, against Latinos, against black people, and against the poor. We have to struggle to change not only this government, but also this society. No será fácil. It won't be easy or quick.
Thanks to Cuban-American attorney Jose Pertierra, who gave us an exclusive interview to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thank you very much, attorney.
Thank you, Roberto, and a strong abrazo for you and for the Cuban people who have so bravely resisted the incessant terrorist attacks, many of them planned and financed from U.S. shores, that have claimed the lives of over 3,000 Cubans over the years. Thank you, and good to talk to all of you.